Thank you. Thank you all, and I'm delighted to be part of this celebration of the work of Bottom Dog Press and Larry Smith. Larry's press is named Bottom Dog, but he's been the top dog in publishing books that focus on the unsung working class on the Midwest and Appalachian regions that are part of the publishing's flyover zone. I personally have had the pleasure of working with Larry on two books, No Pets in the Street. Both books were risky for me and for Larry in that No Pets was my first book of fiction, as he said, and Street was my first combining poetry and photography, the photographs of Charlie Brodsky. I'm grateful for Larry's willingness to take a chance on both of those projects. Larry's survival as a small press over all these years is a testament to his tenacity and hard work. With very limited resources, he's been able to pretty much single-handedly create a backlist of titles that many mainstream publishers would be jealous of. And of course, Larry is a fine writer himself, as you've just heard. So Larry, thanks for everything. And I'm just going to read a few poems from Apology to the Moon. And I'll start with the title poem. I don't know, I mean, there have been a lot of poems about the moon, and I'm actually part of a project that's sending poetry to the moon, to Carnegie Mellon University, and they're sending a lunar lander up there, and there's going to be a little thing of poems about the moon on the moon. It's conceptual, I don't know. Who knows, maybe somebody will read them. But this is part of that project. You tire of how we talk as if we know what you're thinking. But tonight you wink at me. Expect me to ignore that? Yeah, you, tender eyelash of light, bright edge of the magic coin. Okay, I'll keep it down. I'll tell you a secret. Once I was sprayed with stars, pinned to the ground in the exact center of Canada, as they arced over me. And in the exact corner of my heart, I felt you inside me. Oh God, or soul, or young lust in the raspy stirrings of the perfect imaginary guitar, or the awkward shift of my 16 years bundled up and rolled down the hill into the dirty world. But it was Canada, and even the dirt was clean. My bicycle beside me on the ground twisted in supplication. I had not yet felt grief. Even my ghost had acne and wore tight jeans and said, well, they said, screw the moon. But I had not yet felt grief. The stars unbuttoned, unhooked, tumbled past me. And this is the theme of this book, I think, it deals with addiction in various ways and being a parent as well. This poem is called Hair on Fire. And it kind of juxtaposes things we did as a kid and things we did in adolescence as we kind of shifted. Hair on Fire. We ironed October leaves between sheets of wax paper. We melted crayons to make candles and froze Kool-Aid to make popsicles. We stuck cloves in oranges. We grew roots on sweet potatoes and water. We taped our broken glasses together and shut up. We made shoebox dioramas with Play-Doh and modeling clay. We cut snowflakes from folded paper and hung them with kite string. We made newspaper kites and imagined they could fly. We shaped tin foil into fake coins for our church envelopes. We covered love bites with Kool-Aid. We filled liquor bottles with holy water. We hid our stash in beanbag chairs. We drove to Ohio for drugs and rolled back our father's odometer. We kissed our girlfriends on basement pool tables, clicking balls together for ears upstairs. We drew lies with chalk and the truth with tar. We lit our hair on fire to cover the smell. This is called Last Day in Coldwater, Michigan. Our phone died due to lack of payment. I left her a note and trudged down gray splintered steps. She was sleeping the weekly sleep of the dead. The morning crash after the stairs burned down beneath her. After days of artificially sustained floating above scorched earth, paying bills required a certain sustained attention. We had cold water and nothing more. Unwritten debts were due. They had the steepest interest. Listening to the blue music of our veins, we had broken unwritten rules and red-tagged our whereabouts. I walked through dawn and into hunger, past the smell of coffee and the shrinking memo of our young lives. We were close to Ohio, close to Indiana. Michigan did not want us. We had no friends. They had exploded in one of the many miracles gone wrong. She slept with hands limp over the fold-out couch, our bed. She'd want a fix when she awoke to wind her clock. How many pencils can you accumulate with dried-out erasers before you throw them all out? Disconnected. Perhaps the recorded message might briefly fool those out to find us. Precision lost its wings, then the wheels fell off. In lieu of fiscal responsibility, we repossessed each other. The wind swung wide over the flat land, my face stung with radioactive love. For her, for it. And what came first? The drugs. The drugs came first, so I mentioned them last. Someone was going to climb the stairs, and it wouldn't be me. And what would they demand? I should have woken her, but I did not. I should have shaken the map in her face. Look where we are, I should have said. So that's it. So, thanks. One of the, there's kind of a cliche of the addiction memoir out there that you see followed in a lot of memoirs. And so I was sort of conscious that I was exploring that territory. So I wrote a poem called Short Guide to the Addiction Memoir. So it has these sort of headlines and then reaction to them. Addiction memoir, short version, I'm here to tell you. Addiction memoir, shorter version, I'm back. Addiction memoir, shortest version, sorry. Addiction memoir, alternate version, hey, look at me, up on the Jumbotron. Addiction memoir, omniscient version, he had too much to drink and was being an asshole again. Postscript, he's sober and he's still an asshole. Addiction memoir, self-actualized epiphany in car wash. If I could have stopped while I was ahead, I wouldn't be here in the first place. Addiction memoir, one-upmanship. I slept with my sister and my father, then OD'd on goat's milk vodka extract while climbing Mount Everest with my monkey lover. Addiction memoir, faux declaimer. My penis is, in fact, very large. Addiction memoir, thesis statement. The truth will either set you free or bore you to death. Addiction memoir, startling confession. I was so stoned I can't remember. Footnotes. Coles to Newcastle, hair of the yippie dog, preaching naked to the choir. Addiction memoir, sequel. Hey, I'm on the Jumbotron again. And then yet here I go. This is called The Addict's Guide to Fatherhood. I placed a small red rug at the bottom of the stairs to catch my children when they fell. I clipped the commas at her fingernails like an obsessed grammarian. I collected the petals that they'd collected and discarded. I discarded my own collection, empty bottles, needles. I vacuumed up the dusty street I'd rode in on. I clapped the erasers together, white dust offered up to the god of pure intentions. Sunblock and ipecac syrup, dream weavers and wind catchers, a kindly dentist with a bubble machine and fairy assistants, an old school pediatrician with his home phone number, Elmo Band-Aids and Scooby-Doo Underoos and Beatrix Potter, everything else. Baby gates and universal childproofing. Glow-in-the-dark stars glued on so the sky would not fall on them. And this is a parental advice poem. It's called If You Ever Have to Do This Yourself. And some things, as those of you who are parents, well, we've all been somebody's child, know we have to kind of learn the hard way. You ever have to do this yourself? My daughter started crying when she couldn't get the fake poop back into the fake butt of the pooping dog she won at the school carnival. She'd squeezed too hard and the poop popped out. I was driving home. We'd eaten half-frozen fries and grizzly hot dogs, all for a good cause. She's in first grade. My son's in third. His dog still has its poop. She doesn't want me to say potty anymore, too babyish, yet she was bawling. I lost it, yelling loud enough to scare us all. Back home, I got them into bed. My daughter still snuffling, my son glazed over into silence. Shamed, I stood in the kitchen, jamming the orange rubber cylinder of poop back up the plastic dog's butt. I used index finger, I used thumb, I used tack hammer. I wet the poop, then squeezed with needle-nose pliers until I got it all back in. Two pooping dogs on the counter for them to find in the morning, to write their names on in Sharpie marker. They kissed me when I awoke. They held their puppies. We have no pets, though they're always asking. If you ever have to do this yourself, keep it together. Shut up and do love's dirty work. Thanks, and I'll finish with another shorter one. And I'm also very pleased to read with Leanne and Jean and Larry and Jimmy tonight. It's quite a lineup, and I'm honored to be part of it. This is called Model Father, and it kind of compares being a parent to trying to put together the models that we made when we were kids, that at least that I made, where you broke off the plastic pieces and you had the special glue and things like that. Model father. I separated the plastic pieces from their factory pressings and laid them out carefully on the newspaper, though I had not yet read it. I unfolded the thin instructions and squinted and held them at a distance. I blinked. Tab A into tab B. I stuck a safety pin in the glue to release it. I no longer needed a note from my father to buy glue. I didn't sniff the glue, not too much, not much at all, really. I woke up 18 years later. My son had a beard, which he stroked semi-wisely, and my daughter had breasts and a smirk I did not recall. I compared my model to the one on the box. Don't try this at home or on the road or anywhere. I was missing a tiny piece, the brain, I think. Directions are overrated. The father did not fit in the bottle. The father emptied the bottle. The father marked the bottle XXX. The father painted the model, but his paintbrush was not tiny enough for all the tiny parts. The model was a mess. Its mouth, a slurred whisper. Its belly, thick with layered paint. Its hair fell out due to a mysterious lack of glue. We took it outside in the ice and snow. My son brought the matches, my daughter the explosives. Thank you.